We're so happy you guys are here today. We're looking forward to hearing from Hank as he continues our series on the Lord's Prayer and dives into the Lead Us Into Temptation section. So thanks for joining, everyone. Have a nice day.
Hey there, Harbor of Hope. It's great to see all of you. So welcome back, or welcome to our services this morning. It's great, again, just to see all of you. Hey, before we get started this morning, I wanted to let you know that there is someone running a phishing scam as me, and they are emailing people with the signature Pastor Hank Wilson. This is for real, by the way. And they're asking people to email them back quickly because it's an emergency. One person that I know was even asked to buy gift cards and then to send them to someone. So if you get something from me, please make sure that it's actually from my email address, which is my name at harborofhope.org. And know that neither myself or Cricket or anybody else on the team is going to email you and ask you to do that. And so if somebody does ask you to do that, that should be a dead giveaway. Okay. Just for the record, I thought that it was pretty cool, actually. I've never had somebody impersonate me as a scam. So that was new for me. On a serious note, though, we don't want anybody to be taken advantage of. So please just be aware of that that's going around, and it might not be me. Okay. So we're in a series called 66 Words to Live By, and it's all about the Lord's Prayer. So as we jump into our topic this morning, as we've been trying to do either before or after the message, let's pray the prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So today we are talking about the part of the prayer that says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I know you guys have probably seen this before, but we'll just do the little audience participation thing. How many of you have ever seen one of the Austin Powers movies? So the first time that I ever spoke on deliver us from evil, the arts team at our church came to me and said, hey, so we've got kind of we think it's a good idea for this talk. We'd like for you to dress up as Dr. Evil from Austin Powers to deliver your message. So I guess you got to love artists and creative types, you know, in a brainstorming session, no idea is a bad idea. But we decided not to do that. And I'm so glad that we decided that might be a little distracting to do the talk as Dr. Evil. But you've probably seen those movies, right? They don't take the concept of evil very seriously. And it's a comedy, so we don't really expect them to. But I'm not so sure that we think of evil or even temptation very seriously in our everyday lives. But the truth is that every day we face temptations to compromise our character, to do stuff that hurts others, to do stuff that hurts ourselves, to do stuff that hurts our relationship with God. And so this part of the prayer is extremely important. And I think that when we talk about lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, it should have everyday implications, just like the rest of the prayer. Does that make sense? So just a few weeks ago, we talked about the phrase, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we talked about how when we choose to do our Father's will, that we play a part in bringing his kingdom to earth. Well, in the same way, when we give into the temptation to sin, the hard-to-hear reality is that we birth another world into existence. We bring another world here, and that we've done evil. Evil seems like too strong a word, right, to apply to the temptations that we face every day. We tend to think of only people like Hitler and Charles Manson, serial killers, and the Yankees as evil. That joke is always too easy in New England. But not me. I mean, I know I sin, but I'm not capable of evil, right? Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Soviet dissident who was imprisoned in Siberia for speaking out against the evils and the abuses of Soviet communism. And he was in a prison camp for 20 plus years, forced to do hard labor. And as a victim of serious evil, he writes this: "If only there were people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. Gradually, it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart. And through all human hearts, the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being." Listen, we live in a culture that believes that people are basically good and that evil is out there in a few really bad people, but that's not true. Check out what James in his New Testament letter says. "But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So scripture says that you and I, we have evil desires that drive us to sin. We take advantage of people. We twist the truth for our own benefit. We succeed at someone else's expense. And when we do those things, it's not just wrong, it's evil. And unless we understand our capacity for evil, where that capacity comes from, then we will never take temptations seriously on any given day, let alone every single day. But what if I told you that temptation in this verse and in this part of the prayer, the way that we've always prayed it, is not entirely what Jesus is talking about? Though it's not wrong to think that God wants us to avoid temptation and evil, I also think that Jesus had something much bigger to teach us when he wanted us to pray in this particular way. So first, what did Jesus actually say in the prayer? In Matthew chapter 6, where it's one of the two places where we get the prayer, the word that Jesus uses can also be translated as testing, as in "lead us not into testing." And that's really important because temptation never comes from God. The Bible is really clear that God is not like that in any way, shape, or form. Going back to the book of James, James writes, and this is in chapter 1, starting in verse 13, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt." And here's another verse I'll read for you here in a second. "But what God does allow us, God does allow us to be tested." He might not allow temptation or put us through temptation, but he allows us to be tested. James says earlier in the chapter, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So again, tests can be divinely sent to produce a desired result. And though the temptation is not from God, what accompanies it, the test, can be from God, or it can come from this divine place. It can be used by God. So again, the idea of testing makes us think of the Exodus story. Once again, we have been there over and over again throughout this prayer. So let's go back again today. Remember when Israel came out of bondage in Egypt initially, and they stood on the other side of the Red Sea? God had previously declared that Israel, this large family that had grown into a nation, was his firstborn son. That's how he referenced them. And they were then led into the wilderness for 40 years. It's sometimes even called the wilderness test. It was where God wanted Israel to depend on him for daily bread and to worship him only every single day, reliance. But the ancient Israelites worshiped idols from the past. They grumbled and they complained. They were tested in the wilderness to depend on God. They were tempted to return to the evil that had enslaved them and to worship idols. So if you fast forward to the New Testament, Luke chapter 4, when Jesus arrives proclaiming the kingdom, he comes through the waters of his own baptism in the Jordan River, just like Israel had passed through the Red Sea as God's only son. Remember when he came up out of the water and this voice comes booming from heaven, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." Now Jesus is led by God into the wilderness for 40 days. And the question is, will Jesus be able to do what Israel could not? Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led to the Jordan and led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So Luke uses this word to denote Satan, meaning accuser, slanderer. And throughout the scripture, the devil is the one who hurls accusations. He tempts us to do the evil because he's the evil one. Which, by the way, most of your Bibles actually say in Matthew chapter 6, deliver us not from evil, but deliver us from the evil one. Have you ever noticed that? Jesus faced three temptations in this moment. First, the evil one comes to him and says, "Make these stones into bread." And Jesus says, "Man does not live on bread alone," which was, by the way, scripture out of the Exodus story. Second, the evil one says, "I'll give you all the kingdoms that you can see if you just worship me." And Jesus says, "Worship the Lord your God only." Also, scripture from the Exodus. And finally, the evil one says, after taking him to this part of the temple, this high point on the temple, and he says, "Throw yourself down, put on a show for everyone." And Jesus says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Once again, scripture and a response directly from that Exodus story. Now, these aren't just typical temptations. They aren't just simply a temptation to do something wrong. One author and teacher, Fred Craddock, says they were temptations for Jesus to be another kind of Messiah. So let's look at these. Let's kind of break them down here for a second. The first temptation was to be a social Messiah. If Jesus had made a meal for himself, we might ask, what could it hurt? But what kind of Messiah would that make Jesus if he couldn't let his heavenly Father be his provision? The second temptation, Craddock says, was to be a political Messiah. If Jesus was made Lord over all the kingdoms that he could see, isn't that what God wanted? But what kind of Messiah would that make Jesus if he couldn't let his heavenly Father give him that power that he was destined for? And then the third temptation is to be a religious Messiah. If Jesus had done this miraculous display in front of onlookers in that setting of the temple, wouldn't that have caused people to have faith and believe? But what kind of Messiah would that make Jesus if he had saved his own life instead of giving it as a ransom for many? Okay, so why does Jesus being tested in the wilderness matter? Well, it matters because even though Israel failed, Jesus would not fail in the wilderness. Salvation, rescue, and redemption were all on the line in this test in the wilderness. It's important to keep in mind that sometimes real temptation invites us to do the wrong thing, but it's not always that either. For Jesus, these temptations were about doing the right thing in the wrong way or with the wrong timing. The evil one tries to subvert Jesus' connection with God by offering shortcuts to his spirituality. And he does the same with us when we're tempted. Doesn't always tempt us to do a wrong thing, but sometimes he tempts us to do the right thing potentially in the wrong way. And so in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is pointing out that where humanity has failed and where Israel has failed, that he would not fail in the testing that he would experience there in the wilderness, that he would not fail in the testing that would come at Gethsemane, that he would not fail when the testing of the cross came. Keep in mind, there is a lot on the line here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, God made him, being Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because Jesus was able to defeat temptation and remain sinless in that moment and every moment, he was able to exchange his righteousness for our sin. It's what Martin Luther called the great exchange. Maybe you've heard that before. And that's why this phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, matters more than just helping us steer clear of some temptation to be a little more devout or pious. Jesus wanted us to think about a total reliance on God every single day. Okay, so how does lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil become something that we can live out every day? Well, the first thing to know is this. Know that temptation happens. And I know that might sound simple. N.T. Wright says this. Here's a quote from one of my favorite authors. We are unlikely to be tempted in the exact same way as Jesus was, but every Christian will be tempted at the points which matter most in her or his life and vocation. Think about it. There are all kinds of things that we can do for personal temptation, things that we go through individually. We pray scripture. We find friends to keep us accountable. And ultimately, we find forgiveness in Jesus when we do mess up, right? Because we're forcing ourselves, though, to hear and to pray this prayer in a more plural or communal sense, I wonder if we as a church are in a season of being tested and maybe even tempted. Maybe we're being tempted to feel abandoned. What's God's plan for us? Maybe we're being tempted to go outside the proper channels, right? When we can't control something. Maybe that's our way. We engage in the whole gossip thing. Maybe we're being tested not to get ahead of God and to provide for our own needs instead of waiting on him. It's interesting, as the work that I do with churches, I think there's a lot of activity right now for churches to change their ministry, to move everything online, to find new ways to reach people. And I think all of that's good, but I sometimes think that the flurry of activity doesn't necessarily mean that we have an everyday reliance on God either. I think that sometimes the lack of activity can perhaps mean that we're trying to rely on God every day. I would think about the last thing that we want to do as a church here at Harbor is in some way, shape, or form, either in a way to do the right thing, either in a way where the timing doesn't match up with God's timing, or maybe the way that we go about something doesn't match up with what God wants. So as we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is the first thing to know, is that temptation happens and we need to be ready for it. The second thing, I want us to pray for God's way out. You might have even heard this scripture before from 1 Corinthians. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God always shows up with a way out, always. I've always heard the Lord's Prayer, once again, in terms of my temptations and my capacity for evil, and hopefully the way out that he's going to provide me. But that's not entirely what it means. And so I want to encourage you this week to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, with a more communal emphasis to it. To think about the places where we might be tested and how we might be tempted to shortcut God's future for us. Keep in mind, this was no Dr. Evil moment that Jesus faced. God's entire creation and all of redemption, his plans for redemption, was on the line. When we face testing or temptation, we have a God who not only walks through it with us, we have a Savior who forgives us and who rights our wrongs when we fail. I'm so grateful that as our Savior, Jesus understands exactly what you and I are going through our most difficult and deepest and darkest moments of testing or temptation. He understands what we're going through. The writer of the book of Hebrews describes Jesus in this way. He says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." And so let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Harbor of Hope, may we be a community of people who practice an everyday reliance on God that we have read over and over again throughout the Lord's Prayer, who understand and who trust God in those moments, not giving in during any testing or any temptation that we face, because God's provision and his protection are with us through it all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus, his obedience, his faithfulness, and his endurance. Today, we get to approach the throne of your grace because of Jesus and what he did on our behalf. And so we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.